Okay, let's take the next time certain item 1300.
Extend to December 31, 2015, the council approved list of companies that debt securities of which the city shall not directly invest its cash assets.
And go ahead and read 1301 too, please.
Create the socially responsible investments committee charged with recommending corporate issuers in which the city shall not directly invest its cash assets.
Commissioner Novick.
Thank you, Mayor. I'm pleased to bring forward these two resolutions today to continue to our work to incorporate our city's values into our city's investments. Last October, Council unanimously approved two resolutions that for the first time contemplated assuming some social responsibility for our investments. One of those resolutions established a do not buy list directing the city treasurer not to invest in any additional Walmart securities. The second resolution established a temporary committee to consider the question of how the City and Council should receive future recommendations about adding and removing companies to the Do Not Buy list going forward. I want to provide a brief overview about what the resolution before us today do, but first I want to talk for a moment about why this matters. Abusive labor practices, environmental harm, harm to health, corporate corruption, and other unacceptable corporate practices are simply not in line with Portland values. As a public entity, we have a responsibility not to loan taxpayer dollars to those companies that seriously violate these and other principles the council has established for its investments. Corporate practices are somewhat difficult to measure and track. We know that. That's why we've spent some time, significant time, developing a process that takes into account the city's investment policies and thoughtfully incorporates community input. What we have today is a mechanism that seeks to align our investments with the values we often talk about, and to do so in a practical way. This proposal puts our money where our mouth is. The first resolution before us today is to extend the do not buy list we established last year, ensuring the city will not purchase any additional Walmart bonds in 2015. We've structured this list so that it expires annually, ensuring that we at the City Council assume responsibility for keeping it current. On the question of whether Walmart still belongs in the do not buy list 1 year later, I believe the answer is a clear yes. Walmart has a long and well-documented history of troubling practices that clearly fit the principles council established last year and that are restated in the resolution before us today. In the area of labor practices in particular, Walmart continues to resist campaigns to provide Walmart employees better wages, benefits, and other protections. Just this last month, an administrative law judge for the National Labor Relations Board ruled that Walmart managers in California had illegally disciplined workers for going on strike and threatened to close a store if many of its employees joined the group Our Walmart. In November of 2013, the NLRB ruled that Walmart unlawfully threatened employees at Walmart stores in California and Texas with reprisal if they engaged in strikes and protests on Black Friday. In the area of corporate ethics and governance, media sources indicate that Walmart is under investigation by the U.S. Department of Justice for violations of the Federal Corrupt Practices Act. In 2012, the New York Times published the results of an investigation into a Walmart Mexico scheme to bribe local government officials in Mexico in exchange for fast-tracking development permits. And has been thoroughly documented in Charles Fishman's book, The Walmart Effect. Walmart uses its market dominance to disrupt normal market forces. Now, it is possible that leopards can change their spots. It is possible that in the future, Walmart will change its practices. And one reason we renew this list each year is that there's the opportunity for companies to come off the list as well as to be added. But I think this year, Walmart has earned the distinction of being, continuing to be the one company on the do not buy list. The second resolution before us today implements the temporary committee's recommendation, which includes establishing a permanent citizen committee to advise council about companies that should be added to and removed from the do not buy list. In addition to establishing this committee and its charge, the resolution directs the city treasurer to purchase a subscription to reports designed to support investors who are interested in social responsibility. It turns out that there are various entities who come up with these corporate-specific social responsibility reports, which address many of the concerns that we've outlined in our list of principles. And this interim committee specifically suggested that the future permanent committee take advantage of these reports in identifying candidates for the Do Not Buy list. The temporary committee identified these off-the-shelf reports as a fiscally responsible way to ensure the permanent committee has a legitimate research tool at its disposal as they consider council's principles and make recommendations. One important feature of the committee charge that I want to highlight are the provisions that call on this committee to make moderate, thoughtful recommendations that stop the city's investments in only those companies that have the worst records. And specifically, we've included language directing the committee to consider and balance the company's practices as a whole, including the seriousness of concerns about any business practice and whether the company's practices involve more than one of the principles established by the council in this resolution. This composite approach mirrors that used by the research firms dedicated to monitoring corporate practices for investors who care about adding social and values-based criteria to their investment decisions. In addition, we have limited the committee to send one recommendation per year to the council rather than multiple recommendations in the course of a year. It's my hope this limitation will encourage the committee to be careful and err on the side of slow rather than rash recommendations. It addresses the concern that the committee might adopt a sort of bad flavor of the month approach by saying the recommendations be made only once a year. With that, I will turn it over to Katie Shriver of my staff to provide a brief overview of the two resolutions as well as the process we've used to develop these resolutions.
Thanks, Commissioner. My name is Katie Shriver, and I'm staff to Commissioner Novick. I just wanted to briefly describe what each resolution will do and then review the process we used to develop this proposal. So the first resolution, number 1300, extends the Do Not Buy list through December 2015. As Commissioner Novick said, that list directs the city treasurer not to purchase any additional Walmart bonds. The second resolution, number 1301, implements the recommendation received by the temporary committee, including creating the permanent socially responsible investment committee and charging it with recommending to City Council which companies should be on or off the Do Not Buy list. The final decision will come to Council. This is an advisory committee only, and recommendations come to you. The committee will be made up of at least 7 and up to 9 volunteers who must be confirmed by City Council. Each member of the council will nominate one member, and the others will be nominated by the mayor. The committee must include individuals with expertise in environmental and conservation issues, labor practices, corporate ethics and governance, corporate taxation, public health and safety, and business. As the commissioner noted, the committee is charged with considering and balancing a company's practices as a whole, and the committee must send recommendations to City Council once per year, although that recommendation could be no change in the Do Not Buy list. Staff from OMF Business Operations and the City Treasurer's Office will provide subject matter and technical support. And the resolution directs the city treasurer to identify and purchase a research subscription that best addresses the socially responsible investment principles established by council. This purchase is contingent on council approval of a decision package submitted by treasury during the 15-16 budget process. The resolution directs that when the new committee sends a recommendation for an addition or deletion to the Do Not Buy list, the city treasurer shall prepare a financial impact statement for city council to consider alongside the committee's recommendation. So that's a brief overview of the high points of that one. In terms of process, just wanted to run through the history. After council adopted the two resolutions in October 2013, the temporary committee was appointed and met in the spring of this year. Also this past spring, community activists organized an event here at City Hall highlighting the fact that the first set of bonds invested in Walmart were maturing. Because of the Do Not Buy list, the city could not invest new resources into additional Walmart bonds. So that's as a result of the action last year. In August, the temporary committee presented its report and recommendations to council, and information about that, their work, was published on a website created by the Office of Management and Finance, which provided support to that committee. Commissioner Novick and I worked this fall to develop a draft proposal based on the temporary committee's recommendation. We consulted with you and your staff, as well as the city treasurer and the city attorney. We published a draft proposal on Commissioner Novick's website and asked for input from the public, and we shared the link to that draft proposal with folks who had expressed interest in this process from the beginning. We received some comments on the draft, and Commissioner Novick will offer an amendment today to address one significant piece of feedback. So that concludes my overview. I'm happy to answer questions, and City Treasurer Jennifer Cooperman is also here to answer any technical questions. Thanks.
Katie, I have a question, and that is to get a better understanding of what you mean when you say consider the factors and balance them as a whole. And let me just give you a hypothetical. I'm going to hypothetically choose a certain municipal corporation in the state of Oregon. That municipal corporation refused to settle with a Mr. Hurley, a firefighter, and it led to the ERB issuing an unfair labor practice charge saying we're in violation of state law. That municipal corporation was found by the Justice Department to violate federal law, resulting in a settlement with the Justice Department. And that municipal corporation was sued for violations of federal environmental laws leading to the big pipe. That municipal corporation is the City of Portland. Mm-hmm. And so, anticipating that the committee may review our record and make recommendations, what do we mean by considering this as a whole and balancing these factors?
Yeah. So I'd ask Commissioner Novick to fill in if I'm happy to go first. But I think what we were trying to get at there is really to say that, you know, every corporation probably does something that is runs against the grain of the principles that council established. But what we're trying to get at here are those corporations that have very seriously out of alignment with the city's values and with the values expressed in that list of principles. So I think what Commissioner Novick has tried to do is say we want to get at the worst of the worst. And so that direction to the committee is intended to express that.
And I think that's very important sort of in this building a record of what we mean here, because the municipal corporation I alluded to invited the Department of Justice to come in and work out the agreement. The municipal corporation was told we would probably get an unfair labor practice charge on Hurley, but a majority of the council felt that there was a principle at stake in the Hurley case that needed to be taken forward, and on and on. So the mere fact that there's an administrative ruling or a settlement of a dispute does not, as you've explained to us, give rise to the worst of the worst. That has to be seen in context, and you're saying it has to be egregious.
Yeah.
I think that what we're looking for are entities that have engaged in an unusual pattern of violating, in most cases, more than one of our values. So probably most large companies have at some point had some labor or environmental controversy, but only some of them have had, as Walmart had, a lengthy pattern of violations of labor laws, and most entities have not had a lengthy pattern of violations of both labor laws and environmental laws and bribery rules.
And Steve, in the labor context, we also look at, to use the analogy you said about a leopard in its spots, we look at how companies respond to challenges that have been raised. So a company that has been in the news, for example, for maybe paying substandard wages to employees in a foreign, in a foreign company, that then takes up that issue holistically and agrees to respond to it, that company presumably would get some points in this analysis.
And we would look at what their current practices are and how they've reacted to previous criticism, just as if a municipal corporation has been responsible for a large number of combined sewer overflows and they subsequently spend $1 billion to address that problem, we would take that into account.
Yeah, and I guess I also am heartened by what Katie said, which is there's more than one factor we're going to look at, because I think we have to be careful that it's not just one issue that someone particularly cares about that then leads to a discussion about disqualification, but that it has to be broader than that so we don't get into just single issue advocacy. Jennifer?
I would just add that there are, I'll use Walmart as an example. They do score very poorly on labor practice issues by some of the subscription research we are looking at. However, they score A on environmental issues. So that's part of the challenge that the committee will have and then council will have of weighing the relative value of those two conflicting performance histories.
So Jennifer Cooperman, our treasurer, give us an overview of the types of investments that this would apply to and what are the size of those investments currently?
The city is allowed by ORS and by the city's investment policy, council-approved investment policy, to invest up to 35% of the portfolio in corporate securities. The corporate securities that are eligible to be purchased are ones that meet minimum rating criteria by Moody's, S&P, Fitch, et cetera, and also meet certain maturity constraints. So if you, and diversity, because we only put a certain amount of money in any one particular corporate name. So if you put all that together, we have a universe of about 40 to 45 names that are eligible for us to even look at. once we start looking at those names, not all are active issuers of debt. Not all have debt available for us to purchase in the marketplace. And when bonds are available, it might not be the best value, relative value. So it's a relatively constrained universe that we have to look at all.
And when you say corporate securities, you mean bonds, not
bonds
stock.
Correct. We are prohibited from investing in stock. We are prohibited from investing in mutual funds or money market funds, any type of a fund. By ORS, we are limited to individual bonds by individual issuers who fit rating criteria, and the bonds fit maturity limits on them.
And so you said that the universe of potential companies that we could invest in is 30 to 45 companies?
It's about 40 to 45 names. But not that
that's pretty
just,
finite, I guess, more yes. finite than I imagined.
Mm-hmm. It is. I think that was a surprise to the temporary committee as well when they were, when at the first meeting I explained to them the limitations that we work within for the portfolio.
And
how long would you anticipate that it would take the committee to review the 40 to 45 companies? I mean, does that, can that be done in a year with the subscription service and everything?
I hadn't thought about that. The resolution prioritizes the committee's work and asks them to focus on issuers that we currently believe are eligible for us to look at and spend less time, at least up front, on names that aren't even possible for us to consider. I think I'd hazard a guess and say, yes, I think it's possible during the course of the year, because we know that some of these names are not frequent issuers and we're not likely to see. So with help from Treasury, we could help prioritize that list of 45-ish names and help them work through the process. Do you, how frequently are we asking the committee to meet?
It's up to them.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I think we're leaving the committee's operations in some way to ask them, how do you want to approach this, and review the list and take the time that you need and structure your meetings accordingly.
So if we had at day one, if the committee were appointed, ready to go, the subscription was in place, the research material was available for them to look at, Treasury staff available to help prioritize those lists of names, I think that the committee could work through them in fairly short order, prioritizing the ones that are harder, if you will. They get an A on this, they get an F on that. Some other names are probably more easily decided upon and dispensed with.
Do we invest in any companies that are headquartered in Oregon?
We do.
Like Nike?
Nike, Intel.
Columbia Sportswear?
We haven't bought Columbia Sportswear.
Precision Cast Parts.
We do have, we last year council approved an amendment to the investment policy to allow, in accordance with ORS, that allows us to go down to a single A rating as opposed to a double A rating if the company is based in Oregon and has outstanding shorter term debt. So that decision by council allowed us to add Nike to the eligible list, Precision Cast Parts to the list, Intel to the list, and a couple of other names as well.
And we did that last year?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Jennifer, a couple other questions. When the committee makes its recommendations to council, because I understand council is the final
yes.
arbiter of this, let's imagine a scenario where the committee has done its due diligence and has a recommendation, but for whatever reason you disagree with it. And I can imagine that might happen. Will we have the benefit of both recommendations coming to us? Will you be paired with the committee's recommendations so the council can consider both?
Yes. The resolution was written to allow Treasury to provide a financial impact analysis to the committee during its deliberations, and then additionally to council at the time that the committee's list is presented to you.
So, Commissioner Novick, in that rare instance where there is a disagreement, my guess is that at the hearing we would hear directly from the Treasurer if she had a disagreement.
If she would desire to do so, of course. My understanding was that the Treasurer didn't really want to be involved in applying the criteria, and it was actually her original suggestion that we simply send her a do not buy list rather than ask her to apply the criteria herself. But we definitely would want to hear from her if she wants to speak to us.
I mean, I guess I would ask for clarification about the word disagree. I will be providing feedback to the committee.
Right.
Here is the financial impact of this decision.
Right.
The committee will have to weigh the scores on various principles, on various measures, and come up with a determination for your consideration. And I'll provide the financial impact and anything else that we might be aware of.
Now, this only applies to future securities, right?
Correct.
It would not apply to any security we currently hold.
Right. When we manage the portfolio, we purchase securities with maturity dates that fit dates we know we have cash outflows, so payroll dates, et cetera, and it would be too disruptive to managing the portfolio if we had to retroactively sell names.
And under what circumstance would there be a financial impact? And I'm reminded that there are some big socially responsible funds in this country that have pretty robust rates of return,
mm-hmm.
and so that it is no longer the case that you necessarily have to trade off return for socially responsible. What do you mean by a potential
financial impact?
In
terms of the funds, I would, from what I've read, most of those funds are equity funds. And so the returns that they are talking about are for each socially responsible mutual fund is not the same as every other mutual fund or socially responsible mutual fund. Some funds are comfortable purchasing large banks, others are not. Some SRI funds are comfortable buying Apple stock, others are not. So they're not always apples to apples. The returns that are available to the SRI mutual equity mutual funds, if a name gets excluded off of their list, they have thousands of other opportunities to invest in. We do not. So the financial impact for us would be, assuming that we have cash to invest and we have a smaller universe of of corporate securities to invest in, we are then moving down the ladder, if you will, of the alternative investments, lower yielding investments that we have. And so what is the give up of interest that we are foregoing by not being able to invest in Walmart or one of the other do not buy names, but have to invest in something else? Now, it could be that everything else available is equal to the Walmart security at that time. But there's also, I think, a pretty good likelihood that that might not be available. And so we would make an alternative investment that yields less.
Commissioner, the fact that there are so few entities generally at any one time on our list that meet our financial stability requirements is one of the reasons why we would want to be very careful about applying our criteria, and why we would want to limit the do not buy list to companies that are particularly problematic. I mean, if it so happened that the committee recommended that 30 of 35 companies that we can buy bonds from should be in the do not buy list, then I would certainly expect the treasurer to speak out strongly about the potential of the financial effect on the city, but I would expect us to catch that too.
So I guess, and I've talked with Commissioner Novick about this in the past, one of my concerns is our commitment to jobs and companies that create jobs in Oregon. And I guess I'd forgotten that we had sort of, I don't know if relaxed is the right word, but we
expanded
the list of eligible companies specifically to outreach so we could invest in Oregon firms. So I guess what I'm concerned about is some scenario where partners, good corporate partners who have been sponsoring our concerts in the park or fields or something like that, ends up in a very public debate here in City Council about whether we should disinvest from that company. I mean, that is going to have negative consequences for relationships, for decisions about headquarter locations, and things like that. And yet there's no criteria that speak to, if you're based in Oregon, you're creating jobs in Oregon, that should count for something. So where does that get played out?
Well, Commissioner, I would say that if a local company starts evading taxes and bribing officials and damaging human health and the environment, then they should go on the do not buy list, even if they happen to be local. I would hope that that has not happened very often. One thing I think that we can do is we will look at the subscription services that give ratings to companies, a variety of criteria. And I would anticipate that if we see that a local company is scoring quite low on a number of those criteria, one advantage of their being local is that hopefully before the committee makes its annual recommendation, we could go to them and say, look, you are in trouble on a number of these criteria. Is there anything that you can do over the next few months to address some of these concerns? And if they took us up and that addressed some of those concerns, that obviously would be taken into account in the committee's deliberations and our deliberations.
Who makes that contact?
Actually, Commissioner, I'd be inclined to do it myself. I mean, I would ask the committee to let me, or Katie for that matter, to let me know if a local company is scoring very poorly in one of the subscription services, and I'd be happy to make that outreach myself. And as well as, of course, any other, I mean, other members of the council might also wish to do that.
But it's perfectly okay if the city council, I mean, we may have an embarrassing debate, but if the council decides on balance an Oregon-based company creating Oregon jobs is worthy of our continued investment, that's fair. Is that right? I mean, that's
the ultimate. Council gets to make the decision.
It's advisory to us.
So. Okay.
So you mentioned that there's a potential amendment?
Thank you, Commissioner. Yes, we do have one amendment to offer, which I will now distribute to the council. We received input from the VOS Workers Rights Center that our permanent committee should reflect the diversity of the Portland community. And we thought that was a very good point, and we wanted to include a language in the resolution to signal that that is important to us. So we proposed language that would be added to the "be it further resolved" on page 2 of the resolution that begins, quote, that the Socially Responsible Investments Committee will be made up of at least 7 and up to 9 public members. After members, we propose adding the phrases, who are reflective of the diversity of the Portland community and who are. And then it continues.
Second.
That's moved and seconded to adopt that amendment before we take public testimony.
Question on the amendment. I support the amendment, but it's interesting, the way it's now worded, each member of council would nominate someone to serve. So how do we reconcile the two principles?
I think that we would coordinate each other with each other, as we are so good at doing, to ensure that the total committee was reflective of the diversity of the community as a whole. So I think that, I mean, that's an important reason for us to check in with each other and make sure that we come out with a just resolution.
And the ultimate control point is that they're confirmed by the council as a whole.
So before any of us nominate someone, to have a conversation with you to get a sense of what's the likely composition, and if each of us, for example, nominated someone with an environmental background, that may not meet the test of the clause. So this would work best if we had a high level of consultation about our nominations.
Exactly.
Good.
Understood.
So okay. I guess I just had one more question.
Should we vote on the amendment first?
Oh, okay.
On the amendment or otherwise?
No,
otherwise.
That's fine.
Okay, so unless there are other questions about the amendment, let's take a roll call on that, please.
Novick?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Hales?
Aye. Yeah, Commissioner Saltzman, other questions?
Well, again, I guess I was a little surprised when you said there's only 30 to 45 companies that are even out there that we can invest in. So I guess my question is, first, you know, how big is the decision package, the money that we're going to invest in this? And second, what is the committee going to do once it's reviewed the 45 companies? Should this committee have a sunset clause? I'm not asking you that, Jennifer, but what is this committee going to do once it's exhausted the universe of 45 companies, which we sort of estimate would take maybe a year with the subscription service?
I've submitted a decision package for up to $25,000 to pay for the subscription research material. I haven't tested the market yet, other than sort of anecdotally with some of the people that came in front of the committee and with a couple other treasurers out of state. And I think that that will be a reasonable amount. I expect it will likely be less. the research, though, needs to touch on the principles that council has adopted, and that's the part that we need to have a clear crosswalk between the principles and the off-the-shelf subscription and make sure that it's the right vehicle to give the committee information it needs.
And Commissioner, the list changes from year to year of companies that are offering securities that meet our criteria. And of course, the practices of companies can also change from year to year. So it could be that in the second year the committee meets, they will see that it's exactly the same companies and their ratings from the subscription services are exactly the same as they were the previous year. So they might quickly come to a determination that the list should be exactly the same. But it could well be that the list of eligible companies has changed and that the practices of the companies have changed. So they would have to revisit the list to reflect those changes.
So I have a couple of friendly amendments. One is that the resolution says that it would be a subscription service, and it seems that there might be the benefit to having the option of getting more than one subscription. So it would seem reasonable to change it to at least having a bracket with an NS in it.
Commissioner, the only concern I would have about that would be a financial one. So I'd ask the treasurer if she thinks that her decision package of $25,000 would be likely to cover more than one subscription.
I don't know the answer to that at this point in time.
Could we say
we're not allocating the budget now anyway? Mm-hmm. So I think you would come back to us if it turns out you wanted to buy 10 mm-hmm. subscriptions at a cost of $1 million.
Part of my waiting to test the research availability and would be to see council's interest in moving forward. The timing and the moving parts of this.
If you add up the possibility of one or more subscription services in the resolution, that gives you flexibility without having to come back to council saying, actually, there's these two that measure different things. So,
Commissioner, could the amendment simply be to change the word subscription to subscription, parentheses, S, and parentheses?
Yes, that is exactly my proposal.
Take that as a technical amendment that doesn't require council vote.
Okay, then the second one is a little more substantive, but still on the line, and it's in the language that Commissioner Novick has just amended regarding the committee makeup. And it seems to me that 9 public members is a lot for this kind of committee, and that the challenge with 9 is that the mayor would be appointing 5 of them, which is a majority.
Thank you.
So if we changed it to 7 rather than 7 and up to 9, then each of the 4 of us on the second floor would get 1 member and the mayor would get 3.
Fine with me.
So you're talking about just prescribing 7, period?
Correct.
That's fine with me.
So deleting
right,
and up to 9.
Let's take that as a motion. So we're going to delete the words
and
at
up to 9.
Least and up to 9,
yes.
Right?
Second.
Okay. Further discussion on that amendment? Roll call.
Novick?
Aye.
Fritz?
Thank you. Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Hales?
Aye. Okay, done. Any other amendments? And anything else that you want to?
I just have one further question, and that is, can the universe of the companies be expanded at the state level?
The state, the ORS requirements are driven by ratings by outside rating agencies and by our own, and then by the council approved maturity limits. Potentially, if those two were to change, the universe could expand.
And the ORS could change at some point too, right?
I suppose it could, but in conversations with the state treasurer's office, I don't get the sense that they're likely to do that.
Okay.
This is short-term public funds used for daily operations, and going too low in the rating spectrum and too far out on the maturity curve puts more money at risk.
Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you very much. Okay, and I think you have some other invited testimony, Commissioner.
Yes, we have an invited panel of 2 people to speak in these resolutions, Chris Lowe from Jobs with Justice and Ashley Henry, who served on our temporary advisory committee.
Okay. Come on up, please. Morning.
Morning.
Hi.
Okay. I'm Chris Lowe, representing Portland Jobs with Justice. I'm the chair of the healthcare committee there, and I'm on the executive committee. And we would like to support both pieces of your agenda here. We'd like to support the continuation of Walmart on the Do Not Purchase list, and we would also like to support this development of the investment policy principles. I would say, particularly in light of some of the discussion, I want to focus on the idea of that this should continue to be developed as well. I'm a little uncomfortable with some of the transactional language that's being raised about, well, if they're good on one thing and not on another. I think that that really needs to be thought through. If Walmart really has an A on environmental things, I'm skeptical of what that system that's doing the evaluation is. But I think that their other practices are bad enough that that A should not count to allow them to be taken off the list. So, and you know, in terms of the local stuff, Precision Cast Parts had a very serious environmental problem. There was a leak, but they have what their product does creates some serious environmental hazards. And I don't know how you're going to work that out, but it's not. Anyway, I just think that that from our point of view, that's a little bit of a problem to look at it transactionally that way. Our interest in the general principle here is that we are very focused on the need to improve our low-wage economy and turn it into a living wage, fair wage economy. And so we work on that in a number of contexts. We work with 15 Now, who I know you've been in discussions with. We work with the United Food and Commercial Workers Union on their Making Change at Walmart campaign and with the organization United for Respect at Walmart. We work on single-payer health care, which would raise the social wage. And all of these things go to creating a living wage, fair wage economy. And we think that a crucial element of having that happen is to have bodies like yours do what you have done. And we praise the council for taking the action you took. We thank Commissioner Novick for his leadership in the Walmart issue, and we like the fact that you're moving forward on the question of principle here. Setting community standards is a terribly important task of city council, and I think that I'd like to urge you to take that focus in thinking about how you approach this. A crucial public role you play is to set the community standards, and that your investment policy is a piece of doing that. And in the context of that, then, Walmart is continuing to violate that, as has been noted, the low wages, inadequate hours, workers needing public assistance, unstable scheduling that disrupts workers' family lives, exploitative labor model that undermines local businesses, violations of workers' rights to organize. There are many, sorts of things like that in that particular case. But we need to sort of take that broader as well. And I'd like to make a plea here that you consider the role of irresponsible, unaccountable corporations in affecting your returns. That, we've just come through a financial crisis in which I'm pretty sure that, the city has taken a financial hit from that. The taxes have taken a hit. Corporate irresponsibility creates economic instability that affects your job. It lowers revenues and it raises costs to the public fisc for providing services that people need because, if the banks crash the economy the way that they did, that you face that. So in terms of thinking about your duty under the law to be have responsible investment, I think I would urge you to look beyond just the immediate return issues to the role of corporate responsibility in creating the environment in which the city exercises its responsibilities. I guess the final thing I'd like to say is that my understanding is that the amendment that you've now approved came through conversations with Voz, which is a member of Jobs with Justice, as UFCW Local 555 is, and that there are also conversations going on with Enlace, which is another member of Jobs with Justice, about some potential further developments of the principles that you haven't been able to bring at this session. And I just, again, would like to encourage you to see the development of these principles as a process that you're continuing to engage in. And because it seems to me that what Enlace is asking for, from what I saw, fits with the principles you've already adopted. It's basically a similar kind of basis. So, you know, that's not before you directly today, but in supporting this development of, you know, this formalization of the permanent committee, we hope that there will be a continuing conversation about moving this forward, maybe looking, in addition to a sort of negative view of who are the bad actors, is there any value in having positive, you know, we choose to invest in companies that are doing good things, providing Oregon jobs, other kinds of good things that the city wants to promote. And so I hope there'll be a continuing conversation. Thanks.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Ashley Henry, and I was appointed to the temporary committee that reviewed the various options. And our charge was not to make a recommendation about what the city currently invests in, but rather to recommend a process. And we did provide a briefing to you about that on August 6th. And so I'm here primarily just to express my support of the resolution that establishes the permanent committee. As Katie remarked earlier, I think we were very educated about the city's process and the limitations that the city does face in terms of the types of corporate bonds it can purchase. But I still feel that it does make sense for the city's for taxpayer dollars to be invested in such a way that is reflective of Portland's values. I think a lot of Portlanders would be really shocked to know that we hold investments in Exxon, for example. The recommendation to purchase the research subscription, we took that that decision very seriously because we did acknowledge that there would be expenses incurred, and we felt that a subscription service would certainly be a much more cost-effective way to proceed than hiring a consultant to make those recommendations to you. And the only other thing I would conclude by is to say that, of course, you still have the prerogative as council to make decisions about individual investments, as you have done with Walmart. So I know that there will be people speaking today about the Exxon investment and other other carbon-emitting companies. And so you certainly have that option, but that was not what we were tasked with our committee. So
are you saying that carbon emission is one of the criteria?
The environmental impact is one of the criteria that was listed in the resolution that created our committee, yes.
So carbon emission is part of the environmental impact, but not the sole? Not the sole.
Not the sole, yes, but carbon emissions is, that is a pollutant.
Mm-hmm. And is Exxon on a do not buy list currently from any of these subscription services?
I don't think the subscription services create a do not buy list. They simply provide information for those who are making investment decisions. So they don't recommend a do not buy list. It would be the investment committee that would make some conclusions based on the information that they got from this subscription service. Is that...
And the committee would look at all of the criteria on which the subscription service and the council has decided to grade companies, not just their environmental record.
So the subscription service basically provides a rating, not a recommendation.
Correct. Does that answer your question?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you both. Appreciate your help with this.
Thank you both very, very much. Thanks to Jobs with Justice for all the work that it does. And Ashley, thanks to you and the rest of the committee for your long and arduous service.
Thanks. So do you have anyone else that you can call as a presenter before we open it up for public testimony, Commissioner?
I think that's it.
Okay, then let's go to the sign-up sheet and see who wants parents with small children are always given the privilege. So if you want to speak, come on up. Did you want to testify?
No? Okay. Okay. All right. So let's take the sign-up sheet, please.
Okay. We have 14 people signed up. The first three are Lightning, Joe Walsh, and Charles Johnson.
Okay. Come on up. It is a well paid. Good reading. Good morning. Welcome back. You're
good morning. Lightning has deferred to me for
that's a nice reason. Too.
My name is Joe Walsh. I represent Individuals for Justice. We take a position of support. We like this idea. We like this permanent committee that would look at the investments, and from the discussion, if I understand it correctly, you have about 40 to 45 companies that you're looking at. We are concerned that Commissioner Novick is obsessed with Walmart. Let me say straight out, I do not like Walmart. I don't like the way they treat their employees. I don't like the way they treat the people in the vicinity when they move in. And I don't like the way they treat the cities or the state. But they are not the Wicked Witch of the West. There are lots of other companies that are worse. Exxon, you heard, brought up, is one. Wells Fargo is another. Bank of America. How you set up this criteria you're talking about is going to be most difficult. So our concern is who serves on this committee. If this is a mirror image of Commissioner Novick, it's a waste of time. It's got to be a mirror image of this council. And there are different personalities on this council, which is a good thing. Be very careful who you put on this committee, because they will at least have influence on what the city does with its money. And I like that idea, but I don't want people to mirror image anybody. I want them to be independent. I want them to express their views and come to a consensus and say, this is the criteria, this is the consensus, this is what we're doing, and we're going to expand it from Walmart. Thank you.
Thank you. I just have to correct you, Mr. Walsh. I believe that Commissioner Novick is concerned about Walmart but obsessed with corgi dogs.
Ah! I knew it was close.
Johnson. Go ahead. Too much courtesy.
Okay. Good morning, Commissioners. My name is Charles Johnson, and I want to thank you for your latitude about my earlier remarks, which didn't get to touch on the fact that a $312 airline ticket is a lot of carbon emissions. That was a bad choice all around.
Looking into that. Thank you.
Less flying for all you. We'd like you to stay home. The hearing Chris Lowe's presentation was encouraging that we're going to broaden the look to the the difficult thing that Commissioner Schaltzman is also concerned about is having good living wage jobs and maintaining economic viability of corporations that have detrimental environmental impacts like ARC Logistics, like ESCO, like Precision Cast Parts. So I want to congratulate you for giving space for that conversation. Some of your fellow citizens feel too often business interests kind of push out the common man's voice. So even though it is a somewhat awkward and time-consuming procedure for you to listen to me and Joe Walsh as we try and tell you the really best way to build this committee, we are glad that it's happening, and it just means the mayor will have to give three times as much access to the public as the rest of you, since he's going to get to pick three to the one of you. But I want to encourage you to push forward and to do everything in your power to bring more public input so we can have a city reputation that isn't just greenwashed but actually healthy for all the citizens.
Right, thank you.
Yes, my name is Lightning. I represent Lightning Humanitarian PDX. It would be safe to say, Commissioner Novick, that you don't shop at Walmart. Now, you have every right to do that. I'm a consumer also. I like Walmart. I like their low prices. Go to any Walmart store, tell me there's not a lot of people in there who enjoy the low prices. But that's our right to make that decision. That's our right to go in. That's our right to support Walmart. I'm in full support of Walmart. They have a tremendous amount of employees. Yes, you can look across the board and find problems. Well, they have 2+ million employees, plus or minus, so you're going to find something wrong, absolutely. But my position is that we need to have an understanding that we should have done this process before we bought the bonds, not after, and this is what concerns me. We should let their bonds expire and don't buy again. That's the proper way to do this if we have a problem with them.
Lightning, that is what we're doing.
But let me finish. But what we're doing right now appears to be more of a witch hunt to pull a lot of different information up right now, to put them on a do not buy list, and then make our determination. Now, we have a right at any time not to proceed forward and buy by doing our research. What I'm saying is a lot of your research might not be accurate. Give an A rating on environmental to Walmart, I can pull up data right now that will make that inaccurate. Can a leopard change its spots? Absolutely. Walmart has done that. They improve like any other corporation can do. We need to be very careful on a lot of the jobs created, a lot of the funding going in other areas throughout our communities, to where if Walmart steps back, and we'll use Walmart as an example because you put them on a list for a reason, you've rallied in front of Walmart stores, you've done your speeches in front of Walmart stores, you probably don't shop in Walmart stores, and that's your right to do that. But there's a lot of people that do. So what I'm saying is that we need to look at it from a lot of different sides, and Walmart has a right to respond to what you put down in writing. Walmart has a right to say, this is what we've done to improve that. Now, you've stated you want to be the one that contacts them by phone. I don't think you should have the right to do that. I think someone else on the commissioners or the mayor should take that responsibility if this goes through. I want you to be pushed to the side on this just due to the fact you put Walmart on the do not buy list without forming the committee first, which you said you would do. So I do not want you to be contacting these corporations. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, next three, please.
Are Sandy Polishek, Hyung Nam, and Zachary Allen?
Good morning. You're on first, Ms. Polishek.
Oh, thank you. Mayor Hales and members of council, my name is Sandy Polishek. I'm with 350 PDX. I'm also a historian, and I want to give you a little bit of history. On June 5th, 2013, Mayor Hales came out for fossil fuel divestment at a press conference for UN World Environment Day North America. July 16th, 2013, the mayor met with Bill McKibben and committed to divesting the city. Over the summer, 350 met with the rest of council, and a strong majority of you committed to voting for the fossil fuel divestment resolution. September 2013, 350 PDX provided a draft resolution for fossil fuel divestment. October 8, 2013, we were told our resolution needed to wait until the Temporary Committee on Socially Responsible Investing did its work, that they would address our issue. That same day, the city created the Do Not Buy list for Walmart. August 6, 2014, the Temporary Committee presented its report. It did not address our issue. They recommended another committee, the resolution we are presented with today. During this 19 months since Mayor Hales proudly announced the city was not invested in fossil fuels and urged the state to follow suit, the city has purchased an Exxon bond or two. And we have waited patiently. We are now out of patience. The fossil fuel divestment we are requiring is probably the easiest of all socially responsible investment strategies to carry out. It does not require expensive subscriptions, research, or a volunteer service of busy citizens. A list exists of the top 200 fossil fuel companies ranked by the carbon content of their reserves. These are the companies 350 PDS is asking you not to buy. As you know, the divestment movement is trying through this tactic to shine light on the necessity to leave 80% of fossil fuel reserves in the ground, as burning them will mean we face climate disaster despite our best mitigation and adaptation efforts. The time has come to add this list of 200 companies to your do not buy list. The three bonds the city currently holds on the list will all mature by 2017. We are not asking you to sell those. Just let them expire and not buy any new companies on the list of 200. There's only one on your current list right now, Exxon. We are looking to you to live up to your reputation as a forward-looking, progressive city that cares about the future health and well-being of its citizens. And we are asking you, especially Mayor Hales, to live up to the commitment you made a year and a half ago. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Hyung Nam. I'm a Portland Public Schools teacher and also activist with many different groups, including Portland Right to the City Coalition. And I want to underscore what other people have said, including getting the city to divest from fossil fuel companies and supporting 350's work on that, as well as VOS and LASE with prison divestments. But I think this really brings up kind of a more fundamental issue. I mean, we look to you as the leaders of the city, not just to make very narrow decisions, but to lead us. In Seattle and San Francisco, people are working on trying to create a municipal bank. And I think ultimately, we need to think about taking our city's money and our investments and taking it out of Wall Street. We can't trust those ratings agencies. I mean, look at what happened to all the three major ratings agencies. Up to just a few days before the financial meltdown, rated mortgage-backed securities and most of these horrible investments as AAA rated. And so we can't keep on investing our money in whether it's fossil fuels or Wall Street banks that also invest in prisons and other kinds of things. We need to invest in our local economy. And I would love to see our local leaders really to think creatively about making this happen. I know that we have some restrictions with the state constitution as far as a state bank goes, but we need to think about what ways that we can find a loophole or some creative solution for public money to be controlled publicly and for public benefit. And similarly, I would like to bring up that I know that I've contacted both Hale's office and Fritz's office and also county officials as well about NUMMI Financial. And just as an example of the way that the city ends up doing business, whether it was your decision or not, or the Multnomah County Sheriff's, that we end up doing business with these predatory financial institutions that harm the residents of Portland. And I just recently discovered that NUMMI Financial is not only involved with robbing people, basically, of their money when they're arrested here in Multnomah County, but this is happening through federally as well. There's a group called in Arizona called No More Deaths, and I found out that NUMMI Financial is a leader in doing this, working with ICE and targeting immigrants. So as immigrants are deported, they steal their money, and these immigrants have problems with their PIN numbers. They can't get their money back. And this is a company that's a leader in this kind of a business. They are a sponsor of the California Sheriff's Association. And considering that this business is such a horrible business, I would love to see our city council take leadership and not just saying that, oh, you know, our hands weren't in it, we weren't responsible for initiating it, but doing something to protect the residents of Portland from these predatory banksters. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Zach Allen. I live in East Portland. I'd like to commend the committee for establishing this responsible investment committee. I think Walmart is a good decision that you've divested from that. And over time, corporations do change their values, and that's, you know, something to look out for. There are other companies, though, that we can divest from now without need for further review. Fossil fuel companies fail at least three of their criteria given to the Socially Responsible Investment Committee: environmental concerns, health concerns, and exercise of market dominance to disrupt market forces. I urge the city to add fossil fuel companies to their do not buy list now. There is a list of 200 such companies that are easy to screen for, and there's little evidence that this will hurt your portfolio. Like Sandy said, also, you only have one or two on your options, and it would be easy to eliminate them. The divestment would also align with the city's climate action plan. Steve Novick's blog post explaining the need for a socially responsible investment committee is also a good explanation of fossil fuel divestment, and I'll read you that now. I know that Portland alone is unlikely to have an impact on the business practices of Fortune 500 companies, but acting together